morning, everybody. Today is Monday, August 15th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is 66 degrees and overcast here in upstate New York. We've had quite a bit of rain this weekend, and we're starting to get a little bit soggy. But that's okay, because my lawn came back for the end of the summer. So we're going to do a little bit something different today. We had a show this weekend, Shally. Had a show this weekend, yesterday, Sunday, with guest Clint Richardson and Patrick Jordan. We had Clint on the show back a couple weeks ago. This would be a great addition to some of the things that we had just started talking about before we ran out of time. These guys went on for about 2 hours. This will be the first hour of this interview. They had a really amazing conversation about a lot of the technologies that we've been talking about on this show for the last few years. And I really think that this conversation will be helpful for us to build upon for shows in the future. So I thought I'd share this with you today. It's only the first hour. If you want to hear the entire show from yesterday, it's called Reality Radio. The date was 8/14/2016. It's on our YouTube channel, UCY TV on YouTube. All right, so we're going to kick this off, and I will catch up with you guys live tomorrow. All right, here, check this out.
Today, I want to challenge the notion of natural evolution, the notion of evolution, as Darwin put it, over a span of time, as if we come from apes, or there's an example, for instance, of the, let's see if I can find it real quick. I got all kinds of pages open, of course, but there's an example of the evolutionary quote-unquote theory where it shows a hyena from millions and millions and millions of years ago evolving into a whale. Right, and people eat it up, right? They leave comments, oh, that's so neat, wow, I like it. And so what I want to do today is I want to challenge the theory of natural evolution, and I want to actually go farther than just challenging it, but I want people to take notice of when natural evolution started to be pushed in history, which was in the, what was it, Patrick, the 1800s. Mid-1800s.
I'm still looking for my Darwin file. Yeah, I think that's about accurate.
That was also the time where vaccination and other things started getting more popularized. As a
nice people. Connection, man.
Right? And so you look at things like W.B. Clark, a doctor, he was actually from Indiana, and this was in Eustace Mullins' Murder by Injection, page 132, and he was quoting from the National Council for Medical Research in Virginia. And so here's what he says. And I want you to consider that when I was in Los Angeles and I was trying to discover, I was still a sound editor working in Hollywood. And I had a friend that was going to, he was a resident at the UCLA Medical Center. And they were studying cancer, and so I said, I asked him straight up, I said, what is cancer? And he said, the best answer I could give you is that it's evolution. And I never really fully understood that answer in a way that I could have a discourse on it until I think now, after all this research that we have done. W.B. Clark, back in 1903, he said, cancer was practically unknown until compulsory vaccination with cowpox vaccine began to be introduced. I've had to deal with 2,000 cases of cancer, and I've never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. So here's a doctor way back, you know, over 100 years ago, saying that since we started piercing the veil, started piercing the undiscovered country of our skin barrier and whatever it else is there to prevent this evolution from happening, we're literally now stinging people putting something through into their bodies, a direct violation of the natural laws, the laws of nature, which say these species cannot mix. If they mix, they will start getting mad cow disease and other forms of transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, which is what we're talking about with prion disease. If we inject the healthy proteins and other structures, DNA, RNA, you know, genetic code, all that stuff that's getting so popular now, well, then that is all of a sudden how, well, look what happens. We get cancer. In other words, we start evolving. We're literally being rewritten. And so what I want to do today is talk about the theory of natural evolution compared to the notion of almost instant gratification. In other words, why is it that they're selling this ridiculous notion of natural evolution? And we'll talk about why it's ridiculous, so don't be, you know, don't just think this is not a religious discussion. This is purely a scientific look at this. Why is it that the notion of evolution is being as something that happens over millions and millions of years, and that we came from apes, and that a hyena somehow morphed itself over millions of years into the biggest whale in the ocean? How is that? Why is that being sold to us? What is the purpose of that? And my theory, my personal, you know, if I was a PhD, I'd be writing this out in you know, long form. My theory is that the theory of evolution, so the meme for the show is going to be that the theory of evolution, as Darwin put it, is being sold to us so that unnatural evolution can take place. They can justify their scientific discoveries and their CRISPR technology and their vaccinations and everything else. The cancers and all these things are being pumped into us. We're literally being evolved. We're being changed on a molecular, on a DNA, RNA level, on a protein structure level, because we are being infected literally with scientific creations, with things that are designed literally to evolve us. And I can't stress how important this actually is. This is not something that's just, you know, joking around here. We're talking about, man, this is some serious shit. One of the things that we got to start out with is the definition again of evolution, which in 1828 Webster defined evolution as the act of unfolding or unrolling, a series of things unrolled or unfolded. Well, that describes the protein structure, the prion structure of the body, a series of proteins that are designed specifically for each species uniquely to protect that species so that there can be no infectious particles, no infectious evolution, if you will. And the vaccination program has started introducing these foreign species, which is absolutely 100% a no-no in every, you know, moral type of teaching. You never cross species, not even with plants, which we do on a regular basis. To evolve is to unfold, to curve, you know, that kind of thing. And of course, a protein is, or a prion, excuse me, is a healthy one is folded in a certain way, and when it's infected by a foreign agent, meaning an ape or a cow or a scrappy, which is from sheep, if a healthy prion from another animal gets into our body, it starts refolding or unfolding, evolving our very structure. It starts changing. It starts reprogramming us. It says, I'm a pig and you're human. I'm going to attach to you through your RNA connections and I'm going to start refolding you. In other words, I'm going to start evolving you, whether it's up or down, better or for worse, I'm going to start evolving you. And so you have cancers, because why is it that my lungs, I'm growing pancreas cells, right? Because that something unnatural is evolving in your body, right? They're selling us natural evolution as they kill us, literally change our very structure to something that is no longer natural, something that is patentable, something that is actually to the point where we're not going to be able to say that we are unique individual species. We're something created by man at that point.
Well, then wouldn't that kind of goes and correlates with the human, because then we're not so much man as in, you know, untainted. They have tainted us, and then we essentially become the hue in the human.
Yeah, well, essentially, and you patent the hue part because it's your own creation, and you at that point the word man is just the shape or the form of man. It's not really talking about man anymore. It's if all of our genes, 40% of our genes are already patented. I mean, for God's sake, imagine what it's going to be like when we're wearing our person in our genes instead of just carrying it around as a driver's license. When our identity is built into our genes, we no longer are ourselves. So Darwin, when he first wrote his Origin of Species, a year before that, he wrote The Descent of Man. Descent is another word for evolution, the act of passing from a higher to a lower place by any form or emotion. So he's talking about de-evolving man into something that is less than man, exactly what we're talking about. Then he wrote his Origin of Species, and of course before that you had the unfolding of man, which was Jonas Salk's book, which he wrote before his other, before he wrote Infectious Molecules and Human Disease. He wrote a book called Man Unfolding, right? Which, again, is another word for evolution. All right, this is the guy, Salk's the guy that makes the polio vaccine. So what happened with the polio vaccine? Well, as soon as polio vaccine started being pushed, that's when people started getting all the 90% of polio cases were vaccine-related. Right, so that again, you're talking about a forced form of evolution. Your body is trying to cope with a foreign invasion. So the question then becomes, and we'll go to Patrick. The question becomes: if my protein structure, my prion structure, and just about everything else in my body is designed specifically to be in the quote unquote human form, and anything that gets in my body causes an infection, causes an evolutionary process, well then, how is it, and the only way to do that really is unnaturally through inoculation, through vaccination or some other form, xenotransplantation, whatever. It just doesn't happen in nature. So you tell me then, what is natural about evolution? There's, you know, I'll give you one more example before we go to Patrick. There's a guy, you can go to iceagenow.info. This guy keeps track of, you know, he's convinced there's an ice age coming, but he wrote a book. His first book was Magnetic Reversals and Evolutionary Leaps, right? And he starts out by saying, you know, during most of my 50 years, I accepted the idea of evolution almost unquestionably. As a logical fallacy, it makes perfect sense. Well, of course things evolved. It only makes sense. Well, no, it doesn't. There's absolutely no concrete evidence. There's nothing that shows evolution is natural, right? Nothing. It's all, well, we could have had a species 15 million years ago that did this, and then the hyena laughed his way all the way, and he became a whale. Right? That gets, after a while, you're like, a dog became a whale. Okay. But he goes on to say that the only time evolution actually happens He says, I learned that, that entirely new kinds of plants and animals just appeared in the geologic record almost immediately after certain extinction periods, time after time and after time. The new plants and animals had arrived as if they came out of nowhere, with no known ancestors, with no intermediate life forms to explain their sudden presence. And when you do a little bit of research, that's what you find, is you find that almost overnight, you have a new species. Overnight, it seems, in the historical record, which, of course, we're always wary of, you find that there's a recording of a new species, right? It's not something that says, oh, look at there. There's the old species, and it's slowly evolving. No, it's a sudden appearance of something. It just happens just instantly, right? So my theory is that prions, specifically, prove that natural evolution cannot happen because our very bodies are designed to protect against the invasion of other species, and that the fact that we are being purposefully, scientifically, if you want to call it that, evolved is probably the greatest fucking conspiracy I can possibly imagine against life itself, to actually evolve a species purposefully through inoculation. That is my going theory.
I support you 100%.
Same
here. I took notes, Clint, and I will follow up on all of the loose threads, but let me just address, quote, instant evolution seen in Darwin's finches, comma, study says. That's the title of the article from National Geographic News, July 14th, 2006. And the article goes on to say that there was a climate change in the Galapagos, and the finches that Darwin was studying spontaneously, within one generation, created a brand new finch to fill an ecological niche that arose because of that climate change. So my point is to support your questions and your claims regarding the absolute confabulation of what we were sold as evolution. And this is going to piss a lot of people off, especially folks that have paid for their education and were taught evolution and bought it as a religion. I mean, they will literally have mental meltdowns, and, you know, good on you. So Darwin started working on his theories and started publishing papers in 1836. So let's call that 1840. Jenner started his stuff in 1790, so we're like 50 years into vaccination. And I use that as a gauge, because if they're going to say, okay, my work shows that this is the natural process, well, dude, if they've been fucking up nature for 50 years, and you had no record of what happened before the fuck up, then you can't. I'm making a categorical statement. You can't call that natural. See, I adhere to the blood type diet because it's based on genetic science. There are major blood type variations, and the natural world interacts with those variations. But I'm not claiming that the blood type variations are natural, and I'm not claiming that the diet works because it's working in concert with nature, because D'Adamo's father was a naturopath that started the initial theory on the blood type diet in the 1950s, which is exactly when you were saying these monsters, literal Yehudi monsters of Salk and Sabin, were shooting monkey shit retroviruses into the human genome. And I can produce you any number of scientists that will say, oh, 250 million years ago, these retroviruses incorporated themselves into our genome. Bull fucking shit, man. They were goddamn shot into us at least in 1790, if not for sure in the 1950s, and incorporated into our ever-evolving genome.
Well, it is kind of like, to use sort of the movie sort of theme, you know, it is as if a monster has been unleashed. One of the things that this modern sort of, you know, there's this big movement right now for CRISPR, the new DNA altering, you know, things. And one of the things that it actually is designed to either help or defeat is the production of phages or bacteriophages, right? Now, this is what I say, the word bacteria, the word phage comes from the Greek phagian, which means to devour.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're talking about something, you know, proteins that encapsulate a DNA or an RNA genome, right? And here you have this CRISPR technology that is designed to go in, and we'll talk about this, but it's designed to go in and literally, RNA is what programs DNA, and it's literally designed to either reprogram or to replace certain aspects of the DNA with whatever it is that they're replacing with. It's really scary, scary stuff that they are playing with at this point. Like I said, we'll get into that a little more. But it does feel, Patrick, like the monster has been released, and the monster is not really anything but sort of this false knowledge of or artificial knowledge of the way, you know, the body works, or the way that the DNA works, looking at the DNA as a bunch of numbers printed on a page in a two-dimensional format, assigning numbers and letters to things without any consciousness or any substance or if you will, for lack of a better word, love of what it is that you're classifying. It's just furniture, right? It's furniture to be pulled apart and rebuilt in the way, you know, it's that God complex of rebuilding life to your very own structure. But the problem is, you know, I'm looking at all these pictures of bacteriophages, and it looks like, I mean, the artist rendition, because they don't have a real picture that looks anything similar, the artist rendition looks like a freaking robot or a space lander,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really, this stuff's really, really frightening, and I really want to remember that the theme of this show is that they are evolving us.
Well, I mean, I know having a conversation with someone that one of the more intelligent people that I have come across technologically, and one of his comments was that he truly believed that when people get cancer, it's our way of evolving bad genetics and people, you know, out of the mix of things. Was the thought that was conveyed, and I just kind of, you know, I heard that, and I right away I thought, well, I think Clint and Patrick would definitely have something to say about that.
I would say in that case it would actually be the opposite. It would be those who are trying to hang on to their natural freaking lives the way they're designed in the first place are the ones that are going to have to go. That's why transhumanism is so dangerous, because in order to keep your transhumanist, to keep your parts like a robot, you're going to have to be serviced by government. You're going to have all kinds of drugs and shit put into you to stop that evolutionary process from taking over. You're going to have all these foreign parts, all these things that aren't supposed to be there mixed into your design, reprogrammed. You're the one that should actually die. You're the one that nature says, this isn't right. You know, let's do everything we can to fix it, put you back to the normal harmony of nature, the normal design. Therefore, you're going to get all these cancers, and you're going to get all this disease, and you're going to get, but that's okay, because government is there, pharmaceutical companies, to create all the drugs that are going to keep you from morphing into a freaking whale.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, and indeed, the infection is the mindset.
The infection thinks it's the normal one.
Right.
So let's take up that theme of the infection, and let's bring this into the Jordan world of my theory, which I hold to be unique in the world, of making everything a biological framework. So we're going to take religion, government, health, everything, throw it into the pot, cook it down, and what renders up to the top is biological. Nature, 2003, February 28th. A bacteriophage encodes its own CRISPR-Cas adaptive response to evade host innate immunity. Now, if you understand what I said, because there's a lot of information coming fast, the bacteriophage, that's that, like, science fiction nanomachine, the virus that invades the bacteria. The bacteria is the thing that had the CRISPR to evade the virus. But what this Howard Hughes Medical Institute and Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School document is saying is that the damn nanomachine is reprogramming itself to get past the bacteria defenses. So let me just read to you a short paragraph in the abstract. Bacteriophages, or phages, are the most abundant biological entities on Earth. Now, just hold on to your pantyhose. What did they just say? Because I didn't measure them. They just said that something that people probably never have even heard of till this broadcast outnumber by volume and weight every living life form on the surface of the freaking planet. And you didn't know it was there. Well, why didn't you know it was there? Because it is submicroscopic. You can only image them with an electron microscope, which is a magical viewing device, which takes us into the realm of another dimension. It's it's an entity from another dimension. See how I'm taking science and demystifying all of this religious and mythical nonsense? It is a creature from another dimension, and it infects us, and it possesses us. It's all about the language and recodifying. Bacteriophages are the most abundant biological entities on Earth and are estimated to outnumber their bacterial prey, this is their language, by tenfold. Now, Clint, you are an iconoclast, and you are, like, destroying all of these foundational memes that we were given, like when in the movie The Island, they grew these clones in little sacks, you know, to complete adulthood, and then educated them to, like, you know, age 16 or something. And they show this classroom where these fully grown adult clones are reading See Spot Run. And that's what they did to us. They gave us these memes. And one of the memes was that in a natural environment, let's just say the Serengeti, where you got the wildebeest and you got the lions, there is always, they tell us, a natural 1-to-10 predator to prey ratio so that you can have 10 wildebeest to every one lion, and it will support that ecosystem. But what the hell did I just read? That the most abundant biological entities on Earth outnumber their prey by that factor of 10. That's opposite day, man. None of this stuff makes sense.
Well, what makes you pause is what switch are we going to switch? What frequency are we going to lay out there that actually turns all those fuckers on?
Yep.
What's going to turn the great devourer, the phage, population on to where it says, okay, time to clean up the mess. The petri dish is overgrown. They're no longer natural beings around here. Let's eat it all up.
Well, maybe just adding frequencies that are possibly good for the body. Maybe that, you know, I mean, Clinton and I had a conversation with Jimmy Holman, Pulse Technology. So, I mean, it's a good thing that we are moving in the direction of frequency related things, because as you said before, Clint, you know, and you're saying today, what frequencies are going to turn, you know, these, the frequencies, the cyclical frequencies that turn the prion and make the prion attack a normal prion and misfold it. Hopefully there's a solution in that region.
I'd like to think so. The problem, I think, with solutions is that, for the most part, the people who need the solution are kept from the technology that provides the solution on a mass scale.
Right. Well, somehow the stuff is gonna. I mean, we've gotten some good information, I'm sure.
I'm of the opinion, Charlie, at this point. I know Patrick is certainly in agreement with me. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about it. Some people get off on talking only about it. But the fact is that we're at war. We've been at war for quite some time. And the only difference is that the military has now put on a white coat.
Oh, nice.
Has masqueraded as doctors and scientists and basically Dr. Frankenstein's, and no one's doing anything about it. Because, well, why? It's the military. It's part of government. We're not supposed to do anything. The truth of the matter is, when you're at war, there is no law. All right? One of the greatest things that really kicked me in the ass was a book by a Jewish scholar, and it was called You Gentile. And it was a book. Basically, it was the Jews pretty much laughing at us and telling us why they always defeat us. Well, you don't take anything seriously. Everything you do is according to rules and sport. You grow up playing sports and you develop your entire moral philosophy on the rules of sport. You go sport hunting and sport fishing. You murder each other with sport. You join the military and you follow the rules of sport that we offer you. You basically are a bunch of players in our game. And at that point you realize, oh, okay, so the reason we're losing this battle, the reason that we're literally being evolved and loving it, just like our McDonald's, we're not doing anything about it. We're not fighting this. We got the great beast has been unleashed, the monster that is the de-evolution, the tearing apart of our structure, our DNA structure, and reprogramming of it so that we can be nothing but new life, evolved life, which is no longer natural. Again, something that can be patented and enslaved, altered to the point where we cannot resist. This is the only time we have left. This small area where all this shit is being introduced to us, all of this stuff is being put out. It is the great disclosure. This is what you call in the Bible, the apocalypse. Apocalypse doesn't mean nuclear war. It doesn't. Apocalypse and the other word that's so scary. What is it? Shit. The last book of the Bible.
Revelation.
These words only they only have to do with knowledge. When you have an apocalypse, it means that knowledge is being put on you. Now, whether that's
the unveiling,
whether that's natural knowledge or whether that's the artificial intelligence that we're seeing taking over our very frickin' structure of life, you're going through the apocalypse right now. You're going through revelation. Everything is being revealed to you. They have to reveal it to you, otherwise they can't force it upon you. And so you get all this information war, as they call it, coming at you full force now, because that's the only way it can take over, is to be apocalyptically, you know, put in your face. We know what's happening, and if we don't actually step up, and I mean every man, woman, and child out there that gives a shit about nature and life and God and whatever, if we don't step up and do something now and stop these quote-unquote scientists, for God's sake, who thought it would be a war against the freaking nerds?
War.
Right.
I mean, Revenge of the Nerds just took on a whole new meaning, right? We got to stop this. This is not right. It is not right on any level, and yet people are eating it up. Literally, it's what causes the mouthfeel and the good taste in yogurt, right? It's like they're programming us towards this final, you know, artificial life. I mean, it's incredible, and we're not doing a damn thing about it.
Evil. People with their childlike mindset, we've been given just enough to keep us just sedentary and, you know, the entrainment through the entertainment to the point where they don't believe that a really true evil exists. And if there is, the television will tell us, and they are telling us. It's Islamic, you know, it's the Islamic mentality. It's this, it's that, it's, you know, I talk to people, you talk to people, Patrick communicates with people with about all this information. It's just that, just the childlike, I mean, they've really totally kept us, and they continue to try to keep us in this infantile mentality, and it works. Well, disease. Oh, you don't want to die of meningitis, so you drive down the road, and you look over at the pharmacy, and it says, oh, we've got the meningitis vaccine. And I'm like, go get it, and you'll get fucking meningitis.
Well, so Patrick, you know, let's go from – let's really – the real point, and I just don't think this has gotten into people's heads. Again, there are no rules in wartime. There is no law. There is only necessity. And when you Correct. Are an emerging life form, artificial intelligence, whatever you want to call it, that's war. You're trying to take over the very life structure. You're trying to change and alter everything. There are no rules. There are no law. There is no law. Is what I'm trying to tell people. We believe that we live in a system of order, etc., order out of chaos, right? But biologically, the only thing that really matters is where we're at war. And at that point, whatever the law is, the man-made legal law, it's going to be freaking programmed into us. We're not going to need to know it. It's going to be a natural instinct at that point. If we lose the biological war, which we are losing in a major way, we're losing species every day, then we are screwed, right? There is no law.
So this is my take on it, Clint. If you are just an innocent hiker wearing shorts, and walking through, let's just say, the woods, and you brush up against a black widow spider nest, that black widow spider isn't going to say, oh, that's a cute little blonde girl, and she's just out for a nature hike, and she accidentally disturbed my web. I think I'll let her pass. No, that damn spider is going to bite her stank ass, and she's going to have some serious tissue damage, if not get
She's like,
you know, systemically injured.
There are no innocent hikers.
And so, you know, we take that as, because you say nature is God. We take that template, it's a cookie cutter, and we take the gingerbread man of God and we stamp it into another part of the dough that is one cohesive part of the entire dough that's been rolled out in life. And we stamp that gingerbread man down, and we go, now, how does that apply to the mother that was inculcated? Now, that word means that you abuse somebody until they adopt your view. They inculcated these mothers to take their children in for the HPV vaccine. So the little girl gets the vaccine, she foams at the mouth, she drops to the floor, and dies. And the doctor says, oh, it wasn't the vaccine.
she had a seizure and hit her head, and they code for that on the death certificate. Now, in nature, wouldn't it be necessity for the mother then to look for any suitable object, like a bookend, cold cock the doctor, and when the nurse arrives, says, oh, the doctor had a seizure and he hit his head and he died.
It's epidemic.
It's epidemic. So let me tell you what evolution is, because this paper that I was reading from, let me give you the title again. It's from Nature, 2013. A bacteriophage encodes its own CRISPR-Cas adaptive response to evade host innate immunity. So the Jordan theory is that evil is a biological viral entity that infects all levels of life forms to make them toxigenic to other species and can cause self-destruction. Isn't that the definition of evil? Well, let's see what these talking heads in white coats, and by the way, white is the color of the good guys. That's why nobody fights against a doctor, because they're working for us. The constant threat of phage predation has led to the evolution of a broad range of bacterial immunity mechanisms. So, you know, I'm truncating this single sentence to get to major points. Our response to evil is an immune response. What they are characterizing as evolution, and this is your big idea, Clint. You and I work as a team. You came up with the meme. You explained it to me because I didn't get it at first. And now I can fill in the biological blanks to say this is what evolution is. Evolution is the host fighting the evil infection. That's all evolution is, because you defined it earlier as none of the shit started happening until they started shooting it into us.
Or some major, like you pointed out in the Galapagos, something major happened,
right,
that would not allow a species to survive. You know, then I could, okay, that makes sense, and it changes almost in a generation or overnight, right? Overnight being a reference to the span of time and what one generation in time is, right? So I mean, and what you're pointing at is shown over and over and over when we've used this example before, but it's a very, you know, it's something to really think about, the fact that even amongst the human species, right, the different species of man, and yes, we're different because we have different blood types, that the only way that certain blood types of men can have babies together is if we completely deaden the immune response.
Right.
Like, you literally have to tell the body, okay, don't do what's natural. I'm going to eject you. I'm going to alter your structure so that you don't have an immune response to the disease that is this foreign blood type child that's growing in your body. Your body's going to see it as an infection, but here, let me inject you with something that forces your body to adapt, to evolve in a way, in a temporary way or a permanent way, so that you can have a child with this person that nature is telling you you're not freaking compatible, you dumbass. You're having an immune response. Oh, well, that's okay. We can just fix the immune response.
Oh yeah, that is always their answer. Is if you have inflammation or infection, that's a terrible thing because it's breaking down your body. So let's just get rid of the inflammation.
Pay no attention to the signs and symbols. What? Pay no attention to the fact that the body's trying to tell you something, and that according to the design of nature, it's not supposed to happen. Well, that's okay. We can fix it. You know, that's a ridiculous freaking idea. That is almost as stupid as crossing species.
Oh. And what I wanted to emphasize, Clint, is in private conversation, we were talking about the ancient Assyrians and Babylonians and Egyptians that on all of their pictograms had chimeras. You would have the man body with the animal head. And we can go all the way back to 1600 B.C., and people worship Ayurvedic medicine. Oh, man, that's the stuff that came out of India. You know, that's some good stuff. The founder of Ayurvedic medicine was inoculating people with smallpox in 1600 B.C., if you believe those dates. And, you know, everything's being called into question. That's the new meme, is to question all reality. But if we just accept 1600 B.C., the founder of Ayurvedic medicine was doing an Edward Jenner.
Right.
So, you know, how far back do we have to go to say, well, what the hell was a pristine human genome before they started fucking with it? And then you get Edward Jenner. And what they were saying, because people back then weren't stupid just because it was an earlier age, they were coming out against Jenner's insane practice, calling it the ingrafting of bestial disease.
Well,
what is that? That's chimera.
Yeah. It's important to distinguish between true knowledge and the kind of knowledge that's referred to as the fruit of, you know, the tree of knowledge, the good and evil. Concepts, in other words, right? So right now, we're toying with knowledge that is really useless knowledge. All of this, you know, wondrous thing that we call education and university knowledge is all a bunch of crap. It has nothing to do with nature or the design of nature. And because our heads are filled with a bunch of basically proprietary or unnatural knowledge, we are thus led in a direction that we will literally kill ourselves because of that knowledge. Thus, you have the idea of the Great Flood, which is a figurative term, to refer to, you know, wiping clean exactly what we're talking about right now. People who are so caught up in the matrix, in the artificial reality, that they would not recognize what is nature if their life depended on it. And their life does depend on it, you know. So you're talking about a different kind of knowledge when you're talking about ancient knowledge. You're talking about the knowledge, right? It's not just facts and figures and histories and dates and times and equations and that. What we're talking about when we're talking about ancient knowledge is so far removed from anything that we contemplate today, because our heads are so full of unnecessary fruit of the tree. I mean, we're such fools compared to what they were back then.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that with them, you know, saying that we've evolved from apes, what they failed to tell us is that they're pushing us back to what they said we came from.
Right.
Which we didn't come from.
Descent of man, dude. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Charlie, you brought up the idea of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I had brought up the topic of chimera. A chimera is where you have two distinct DNAs within the same host. And it could be human DNA. You could actually have the DNA of two different parents with two different presentations of DNA in one in your pancreas and one in your skin. And when they do like a paternity test, they'll say, "Oh, you're not the parent of your own child," because they're looking at only one part of the chimera. Well, in 1956, Julian Huxley had a theory of what cancer was. And then Peter Duisberg, the guy that wrote the book on AIDS, in 2011, just restated what Huxley said, that cancer is a parasitic life form asserting itself against the host. that's where the chimera is trying to, like, come out. It's like a demon trying to take over the husk.
It's almost like an... I don't want to say it. You know, I don't believe in any of this shit that they're putting out, the holographic universe and all that kind of, but it sounds very much like almost like an other dimensional life form trying to take over. Or the notion of the unlimited worlds, right? If you think of that, if you don't think of that as a literal concept and instead a possible, well, what are the possibilities of what man can be, you know, altered into? Well, then, yeah, you have you have like cells that are trying to grow because they think the world is one of these parallel universes where humans look like cows. Right? Or more like apes or whatever. So you've got the possibility of these parallel universes, if you will, that in that way I can see it as almost like a foreign entity or a foreign life form that shouldn't be in this realm, in this frequency, in this particular design, but hey, if you just add some scientific equations, you can literally, and we are, creating a brand new frequency, a brand new world with new life forms that look oddly enough like the old ones, but have things growing out of them that, for all intents and purposes, and by the design of this world, should not be growing. Thus, you've integrated sort of a science fiction-y notion of an alternative world or universe into this one. Even though it's all figurative, just like the flood was not a big water wave, you know, right? It's all figurative, but it kind of, you start understanding where these theories are coming from.
Okay, everybody needs to go to ABC News, Medical Mysteries, and look up Tree Man. What happens when you get the HPV virus in your body is it is latent. It is a latent retrovirus that just sits there until the immune system goes offline. And then you turn into a literal, and I mean no respect to Day-Day. That's the guy that they feature in Micronesia or wherever he is from, Malaysia. In no respect to him, but the demon comes out. So all these little girls and now little boys that got the HPV vaccine have literally a demon in waiting in their cell. And when the immune system gets turned off, then it will express itself, and he literally looked like he had vegetative growth. He had been completely transformed from a human being, the outward manifestation of a hominid to something absolutely undescribable. And that's why I say you got to go. ABC News, Medical Mysteries, Tree Man. You got to see it for yourself. And after you see it, if you still get an HPV vaccine,
you deserve to be a tree.
So let me, please allow me to finish the single sentence that encapsulates this entire show. The constant threat of phage predation has led to the evolution of a broad range of bacterial immunity mechanisms, which in turn result in the evolution of diverse phage immune evasion strategies, leading to a dynamic co-evolutionary arms race. So the thing that I call evil, this nanomachine virus that has infected and is trying to take over the entire biosphere, because it is the most dominant life form on the planet, if you call it life. Most dominant, they call it a biological entity. It then creates this attrition where it infects us, and we evolve, if you will, to try to push it out. And then it evolves to try to take us over again. And it's just the little kids with the baseball bat in the parking lot trying to get their hands highest on the bat to see who wins. Bacteria exist. Because they exist, they want to just do their thing. But these damn phages want to infect the bacteria. So the CRISPR and that stands for clustered, regularly interspaced, short palindromic repeats. Is that that CRISPR gene cassette is part of the bacteria's defense mechanism to keep the damn viruses from getting in and evolving the bacteria. The bacteria don't want to evolve. They just want to do, they just want to sit on the beach and drink pina coladas. That's all they want to do. And in fact, right now, people need to understand this, Clint. And I've said this since 2008. We are right now covered with tetanus. Covered in it. But we're not dead. Why? Because the bacteriophage that makes tetanus toxigenic has not either infected or activated that Clostridia organism to make it poisonous to us. So what was the problem? Was the problem ever Clostridia tetani? No, we're covered in it. The problem was the damn phage. So the phage pissed off the Clostridia, and it threw down its pina colada, and it broke it as glass on the beach, and the next person that walks by gets bloody feet, and it picks a fight with anybody else around it, including the nice little, the pretty little island girl, and all hell breaks loose. Why? Because of that damn phage. So this is the evolution. But the bacteria has a response to it. It's the CRISPR cassette, which is a restriction enzyme, cut and paste, deletion program to get the stank bacteriophage out of its genome. But
Patrick, if you could make this into a reality television show where these things are like a all this drama is taking place, yeah, people would be on board in a week or two.
I'm writing down YouTube.
The pina colada, the whole thing.
The bacteria's like, yeah, that bitch, she came along and she just told me what to do, like she's some boss or something. Hey, I'm gonna go refill my coffee. I'll be right back.
Okay. The problem is the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And the virus tries to evolve the bacteria, and the bacteria says, oh, no, you didn't. And it fights back. But in fighting back, this is the weird part. This nano machine biological entity goes, oh, it's trying to get the upper hand on that baseball bat. I think I'll change. And then the virus, quote unquote, evolves.